I don't want to sell my stuff and give it to people I don't know. And people used to preach that scripture saying, the building of the first church, one of the things is they sold their stuff. That's in the Bible. But when I read it the other day in the context of meeting together daily, sharing communion, focusing on Jesus, praising God, and sharing meals together, generosity comes naturally when you spend time with people. That action of people selling their stuff was an action of, man, this extra stuff I have around me is a burden to what we're busy doing and focusing on Jesus. They did not get rid of the stuff that made life capable for them. They sold their extra stuff. They gave the extra stuff they had around to the people they were spending time with. And what happened in the early church? Unmistakable camaraderie. When we're building church, we've got to get together often. We've got to have communion. We have to praise God. And we have to eat together. And then natural generosity will take place. And there will be an unmistakable camaraderie. So I'm still busy reminding us, what does it take to build church? When we're building church, when we're having church, when we're building a community, you have to have innovative minds. And I preached on this last week about we have to think new about what we have. We can't say, oh, we don't have enough of this. Oh, we don't have enough of this. Oh, if we had more of that, we would be a better this. No. Jesus has already given us everything we need for life and godliness. So we need to be more innovative with that which Jesus has already given us. And in Acts 3, verse 6, Peter and John, on the way to the hostile temple, meets a crippled guy, looks him in the eye, and Peter said, I don't have money, but I'll give you this. By the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. When we are building church, it doesn't just take money to build a church. It actually takes Jesus. And we actually have to offer people Jesus and an experience with Jesus. And then we'll trust the Lord that the finances and the money will follow. We have to innovate with that which we already have. So everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by His divine power. Amen? That's church. So this morning, I want to focus on death and resurrection. It's quite a heavy title. I just got it out of the Bible just like that. And I'll track to it. I just want to remind us all that is the one thing that differentiates us from other world religions is that we actually, with everything in us, believe that Jesus resurrected from death. Because everybody has some form of historical, spiritual leader that they can refer to back and say, this guy used to write a book and he led us and this is his teachings. Everybody has some form of historic leader in the past. Then most religions have some form of spirituality, some of divinity, some form of there's this greater powers beyond us. So a lot of spirituality lies in the mysticism. So there's historic figures and there's these mystic figures that people refer to. Christianity is the only religion that claims Son of God, humbling himself as a man, dying on a cross 3 days later, raising from the dead and ascending to the Father. Amen? Amen? That is what makes us Christian, that we believe in resurrection. I don't normally drink so much. It's hot up here today. So I'll quickly want to run through Matthew 16, six passages, six verses. I'm going to do it quickly. So Matthew 16, and the reason I want to focus on Matthew 16 is in Matthew 16, there is the it's going to be about Peter. So those of you that remember, Peter's actually the guy that says, Jesus, you're out on the water. I want to step out in the onto the water. And Peter actually had the faith to step out onto the water, but took his eyes off Jesus and immediately sunk. So there, Peter was brave, but yet sometimes he didn't have the character to pull him through. And this is the story where Peter says to Jesus, no, but you won't do this. And it actually sets him up for one of the greatest failures in all of Scripture. Because at the end of the story, we're not going to go there, but at the end of the story of Peter, and it's not the end, sorry, the end of Peter's story is back in Acts 2, where he actually preaches the gospel and saves 3,000 people. But the most horrific point in Scripture was when Peter said to Jesus, I will not deny you. And Jesus says, you will deny me. And Peter said, I won't do it. And then he denies Jesus three times to such a degree that he says, I don't know him. Now, what's so scary about Peter denying Jesus, it was in front of servants around a fire, not with a sword against his neck. He wasn't asked to deny Jesus under violence. But death and resurrection is Peter was brave stepping onto water. Peter says, no, Jesus. Peter says, I will never deny you. Denies Jesus. Jesus restores him and brings him back to life. And he preaches the gospel to 3,000 people. So let's look at this point in Peter's life, where he thinks he knows better than Jesus. And it says, from then on, Jesus began to clearly reveal to his disciples that he was destined to go to Jerusalem and suffer injustice from the elders, leading priests, and religious scholars. Jesus was quite clear about what was going to happen to him. The fact that the guys weren't there at the tomb that Sunday morning waiting for him to raise from the dead is like, that's just guys for you. And the een oor uit die ander oor uit. Jesus was clear about his death, his injustice, and his resurrection. And the disciples were just like, I don't know why though. From then on, Jesus began to clearly reveal to his disciples that he was destined to go to Jerusalem and suffer injustice from the elders, leading priests, and religious scholars. He also explained that he would be killed and 3 days later be raised to life again. I'm like, het hulle opgelet in die klas? Where are these oaks? Peter took him aside to correct him privately. I'm like, he's brave. You gotta give Peter that. I'm like, yeah, you have Jesus. He's clear. He's explaining. He's Jesus. He's the one that blessed you with power and been teaching you. And you're like, come here. Can't be. Peter had an agenda with Jesus. Peter expected something from Jesus that he had. Peter expected Jesus to serve him and not just be obedient to Jesus. Some of us come to church, want to experience the presence of Jesus to serve us. We want to be served by Jesus, by our specific understanding or think of what Jesus is there for. No, Jesus, you got this wrong. This is not about me just worshiping you. Do you know what this person is doing? Do you know what that person said to me? Do you know have you seen my bank balance lately? Have you seen my kids? I'm like, we come to Jesus with this expectation to serve us. Do we ever step into the building, step into the presence and says, Jesus, if you say it's sacrifice, I will sacrifice. And I will step into your presence and I will obey you irrespective of what I step into the arena or into the service with my idea of how to be served. Peter took him aside to correct him. No, Jesus, you got this wrong. He reprimanded Jesus. Oh my goodness. How many of us think Jesus is reprimandable? Jesus, you know, this thing I've been praying for still hasn't happened. You know, are you really there? Are you really listening to me? Who of us is reprimanding Jesus? Because he has not done for us which we think should have happened to me. I don't know what these oaks are laughing about. You must be careful. I've got the mic, eh? I might just say something about a girlfriend or something. You can't come to Jesus with your own idea. He's explained it. He's been clear about it. He reprimanded Jesus over and over, saying to him, God forbid, Master, spare yourself. You must never let this happen to you. Peter's saying, don't you do your thing. I've got a plan for you, what you need to do for me. What does Jesus do? Jesus turned to Peter and said, get out of my way, you Satan. Well, of all the things you want Jesus to call you, I'm just like, if Jesus ever rocks up and speaks to me, hey, Anthony, that is at the bottom of the list. But guess what happens when you drive an agenda with Jesus saying, I've got a plan for your life, Jesus. And Jesus is like, hang on, I'm the one here making the plans. I'm the one being clear and explaining to you what's going to happen. Out of my way, you Satan, you are a hindrance to me because your thoughts are only filled with man's viewpoints and not with the ways of God. There are ways of God that is completely different and opposite to the viewpoints of men or people or us as humans. And it's back to that supernatural thing that, yes, we could create a church on the system of an historical figure. Or we could create a church on the aspect of a deity and a mystic presence. But when it comes to resurrection, of me dying to myself, me laying it down, me surrendering who I want to be and my intentions, there are ways of God that we have access to when we let go of the viewpoints of people. May we not step into church, may we not step into community, may we not step into worship with our own viewpoints of what this should be like, what this could be like. But there's ways of God that lies beyond my idea of what this should look like. Then Jesus said to his disciples, So I'm so glad there's a then. Because if that was the end, I was like, oh man, we are in trouble. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if you truly want to follow me, you should at once completely reject and disown your own life. And you must be willing to share my cross and experience it as your own as you continually surrender to my ways. I've, at a moment, I feel even inadequate to read that. That Jesus says, not your way, Peter. And he actually turns to his disciples and he says, here is the way. But I'm not too sure if I'm okay with that, Jesus. If you truly want to follow me, and that's the point, guys, we can come to church, enjoy the coffee, enjoy the worship, but there's a true following of Jesus that differentiates people that come to the building expecting something and those coming to the building to give and to surrender and to take up their cross. Because Jesus says, if you truly want to follow me, you should at once completely reject and disown your own life. So something of me on the throne of my own life, me making the decisions, or me protecting my ego, has to go. There's zero ego in the process when you truly follow Jesus. Because Jesus actually asked you to lay it all down. Not some of it, not only the public space of it. Jesus expects all of us when we lay all of it down. And it's to a certain degree easy to look nice and pretty in front of everybody. Jesus says, I even want you to submit your private life to me. There's a private life that between you and Jesus that only you and Jesus know about. And it's in that space where he says, completely reject and disown your own life. And you must be willing to share my cross and experience it as your own as you continually surrender to my ways. Continually surrender to my ways. Continually surrender to my ways. Guys, how do you get your life from point A to point B? How do you get your life from 0 to 100? Continually, systematically, daily, surrendering to the ways of Jesus. The ways of Jesus is not a suggestion. When Jesus said to the guys, hey guys, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm explaining, I'm going to die, they're going to this, I'm 3 days, I'm going to get up again. It was not a suggestion. It was a way. It was a way. And it was a way that we need to continually surrender to. Oof. For if you choose self-sacrifice and lose your lives for my glory, you will continually discover true life. And there it is. It's just there. If you choose self-sacrifice and lose your lives for my glory, Jesus' glory, you will continually discover true life. If you choose to keep your lives for yourselves, you will forfeit what you try to keep. Lost. For even if you were to gain all the wealth and power of this world. So Jesus just quickly just throws it in there. Guys, money and power, it's not going to bring your breakthrough. For even if you were to gain all the wealth and power of this world at the cost of your own life, What good would that be? And what could be more valuable to you than your own soul? And I spoke about us and our soul and the enemy and our spirit influencing our soul. And if you are to gain everything but lose your soul at the altar. David, you can join me. I, the Son of Man, Jesus, will one day return with my messengers, with the angels. And in the splendor and majesty of my Father, and then I will reward each person according to what they have done. Father, may you not be caught unrepented. May you not be caught doing the things of man, submitting to the enemy in your soul that something else will come out of you, which is not you. When Jesus returns in the majesty of the Father, what's he going to do? I will reward. So he doesn't say, I'm going to come and judge. I'm going to sort you out. I'm going to look at the things you did wrong. No, he goes straight for, I'm going to reward you. I'm going to give to you. I'm going to bless you. But for what? According to what you have done. May we have enough done on our plate in the ways of Jesus, in the ways of the Father. Not rebuking Jesus for making it hard. Not for rebuking Jesus for... So not rebuking Jesus for saying it takes sacrifice for the kingdom to come. Jesus had to go to Jerusalem. Jesus had to be whipped. Jesus had to be crucified so that the kingdom can come and that we can be saved. Who are we to then say, Jesus, no, I've got a different idea for my life. I've got a different idea for church. I've got a different idea how we should do this. Even if we gain the whole world but lose our souls, it's not worth it. Because Jesus is coming back to give a reward. But for what? Not people lying passive, waiting for the return of Jesus. No, a church, a body, a people doing things, taking risks, stepping out, having faith, doing things the way Jesus said they should be done, not the way Peter thought they should be done. Do you have some Peter ideas about Jesus, about religion, about church that you need to surrender this morning? Have you got ideas of how you should have your relationships, how you're supposed to deal with other people that is not the ways of Jesus? There's an altar here this morning that you can offer repentance to. But then you can actually praise Jesus because there's a reward, because Jesus rewards that which you have done. Father Saskaricha, please stand with me. May we not tell Jesus what he should do. Who builds the church? Jesus builds the church. And on the truth that Jesus builds the church, there will become, the kingdom will come for that. And the enemy cannot stand against Jesus building the church. Here we have a Peter in faith stepping out in water, telling Jesus, no, I've got a better idea what you should do. saying, I will never deny you, then deny Jesus. And then Jesus comes, restores him, and he preaches through the power of the Holy Spirit, preaches, and 3,000 people come to be saved. What do you need to lay down on the altar this morning of your own ways, which you've not submitted to Jesus? Do you know Jesus has been speaking to you about this thing? And if it's a public thing or a private thing, and you need to lay it down on the altar this morning. And when you lay it down on the altar and say, Jesus, please take this thing from me. May this thing die in me. And may I resurrect as a new being. Somebody like Peter, that was dead in his denial of Jesus, but was raised up to faith once again when Jesus came and restored him. Let's bow our heads. Jesus, thank you that we can be as dead as Peter in our sins and in our attitudes and in our soul. Jesus, may you come and restore us this morning, like you restored Peter. May you come to the space where we experience your provision and you realigning us, and you realign us again with what you are busy with for building your own church, that your kingdom may come and that your will be done on earth and in my life as in heaven. Jesus, I lay my sin, my attitude, my expectations, that my soulness that I bring to the worship and saying, Lord, I want you to do this. No, Jesus, have your way. Sorry about that. Jesus, thank you that you can come in a powerful way and give us life everlasting, and that your reward will be for what we have done, and that there's a reward for living the way you intended us to live. Jesus, thank you for who you are and what you're busy doing.